The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Speaking of the UK, the big news there, of course, is today is that the report into the Grenfell Tower fire was published, a 1,700-page report concluding the fire was the culmination of decades of failure by central government and other bodies in positions of responsibility in the construction industry. Kingspan, of course, coming in for criticism as well, as you would have heard in the headlines today. But what about our own issues in this country with building defects? Mick Clifford is special correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Mick, we have been lucky enough not to have any devastation on the scale of a Grenfell in this country, but people will be familiar with your coverage of building defects over the years. And there's kind of a sense sometimes of there, but for the grace of God go us. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair, Kieran. One obvious example of what you're talking about was a fire in a place called Millfield Manor in Newbridge, County Kildare. I think it was March 2015. One of the issues that arise with fire safety defects is timber frame houses, which are increasingly popular and for very good reason, because they're an excellent way of building, particularly when we want to build fast. But anyway, a fire occurred in the afternoon. It literally burnt to the ground the terrace of six houses within half an hour. Now, if the fire safety had been properly observed when these were being built, that should have taken 3 hours. Thankfully, as I said, it was in the afternoon, not in the middle of the night, when an awful lot of people would have been at home and asleep, and nobody died in that. There have been other smaller fires. There was one back in 2002 in which a couple died. That was not recognised at the time as having been due to fire safety defects. And in fact, there was a Garda investigation, and a local superintendent who was in charge was very anxious to press criminal charges, but it wasn't followed through on. We were living in a different culture at that time. There have been other fires, but again, thankfully, no other fatalities. But there's no doubt we have had a huge problem with it. A survey of particularly apartment buildings between 1991 and 2013 came to the conclusion that up to 100,000 of these apartments could or did have fire safety defects. As a result of that, the government last year opened up a redress scheme, which is expected to cost. And you know yourself, Kieran, that if they give you an original figure with this, it often balloons. But currently, it's expected to cost $2.5 billion in order to redress and to remediate defects that will ensure that people are safe in their homes.
And this is born of what, Mick, of subpar building regulations, or of regulations just not being complied with, or wherein is that gap between the stools?
Yeah, and that's exactly the problem. The regulations were good. The design features were good. The big problem, and a huge amount of this occurred during the frenzy of the Celtic Tiger, when, you know, the attitude was get the thing up as fast as possible, get building on the next, money coming in, the whole, we're all aware of the frenzy there was then. But what happened was that you would have local authority fire officers would sign off on the design. They were handed it and say, yeah, that looks fine, that's grand. Subsequently, it was built not to the design, but corners were cut. There were shoddy elements to it. There were fire stopping that was not put in properly. All of that kind of stuff. It was signed off on without the local authority having to come back and say, yes, you built directly according to the design, which was not the case in all these instances. And subsequently, usually it was only discovered either if there was a fire or, and we had a lot of this when apartments were being repossessed by the likes of NAM, and that if there was a large corporation or someone like NAM who were coming in and taking 10, 15, 20 apartments, they would then do a detailed survey. And it was only at that point, in a lot of these instances, that it was discovered that behind the walls of these apartments and the common areas and all was the kind of building that should anything go wrong, it would go up like torch paper.
Well, listen, stay with us, Mick. I want to come back to you on a few of those points, but Claire McAfee is with us as well, who found herself living in one of these apartments where these defects were discovered on the back of a situation exactly like you describe. Claire, Tell us a little bit about that situation, the one you found yourself in, and how it impacted you.
Well, it was far from ideal. I was living in a complex that was affected by fire safety issues, and I sold in 2017. And I sold because in June I was in London and I was staying 10 minutes down the road from Grenfell, and I saw it on fire.
Oh, wow.
And I can't tell you what that felt like coming home. And we'd already been dealing with fire safety issues in this particular complex for quite some time, and trying to get the support, you know, financial support, because, you know, it, I think at that point there were probably about 800 apartments in the complex. And initially, basically I had an apartment there where there was water ingress problems, and after some particular heavy rainfall, basically part of the ceiling fell in my living room. And, you know, this was very kind of early on in figuring out that there were actually quite severe issues in that particular complex. But when somebody went to come and look at it, they were like, hang on a second, this ceiling isn't built to plan and neither are your walls. And then I think, you know, that kind of kicked off the whole question of, well, what else has been missed? And to cut a very long story short, quite a lot had been missed. People think of you know, a defect as being something that has been built and is not working properly or is wrong, you know, built wrong. In this case, there was stuff that was actually missing. You know, it was never put there in the first place. You know, the whole situation was, I can't tell you how stressful it was. You know, and I came home after that trip to London and I actually couldn't sleep at night and I ended up selling. At that point we'd had, you know, we had quite a few conversations with people in government, and it just took a while for them to kind of, you know, I think figure out the scope of the problem, which, as you say, is massive.
And are you personally still out of pocket, or what was the situation with all of that?
Yeah, so I had to pay, I think it was probably around €23,000 in total. You know, in order to sell the apartment, I agreed to, you know, to pay the at that point they had kind of figured out how much it was going to cost per apartment, and, you know, I agreed to pay, you know, the cost of that. And
yeah,
it happened to be in one of the, you know, this complex was kind of split into sort of two or three different sections, different phases when it was initially built, and the phase that I was in wasn't as affected as others. So, you know, the buyer at that point was, you know, okay with that. Me personally, I will never ever live in a boom built apartment building in any country, yeah, actually, not just Ireland, anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it would keep you awake at night, kind of knowing what you know, having, you know, gone through it, and seen the worst that can happen. You know, it's, I've often kind of felt that, like, you know, although the government now are doing really great work in, you know, in putting together a scheme and putting that in place, it's hard for me to say that I personally don't feel that it's, you know, taken too much time. You know, I haven't lived in that particular complex since 2017, and we're now in 2024.
Yeah.
And only now are we kind of, you know, talking, yeah, about, you know, doing the works.
Is there any possibility that you get that 23,000 back?
I'm meant to be getting it back. As far as I'm aware, I think it's phase two. There's like a, you know, there's going to be if the remediation scheme involves, you know, paying back people who have had to pay,
yeah,
you know, pay out. There's like a retrospective payment scheme. You know, it's an awful lot of, you know, it's a huge amount of money. But at the time I was desperate. I just wanted, I couldn't deal with fire safety issues any longer.
I don't think anybody who saw Grenfell, you know, with their own eyes would have been able to sleep in that apartment again.
No, and I didn't. I really didn't. And I'm, you know, I came home and I literally remember pulling my suitcase along there's like a square in the middle of this complex. I remember pulling a suitcase along and I was about to turn into to go down to my apartment block, and I saw a bit of polystyrene literally behind stone cladding on the side of a building. And I was like, why is there a poly? Like, maybe that's fine, maybe that's all to code, but to me, I'm looking at that going, oh, no. Like, I think I lost faith. You know, I completely lost faith at that stage. So I then bought a house. You know, I just, couldn't face living in an apartment.
I think an understandable reaction. Mm. Mick, are we in a position today where, setting aside all the kind of the retrospective stuff that has to happen, that we can be sure we won't be dealing with this in the future? I mean, in other words, are building regulations what they need to be, and is the kind of the level of inspection and adherence where it needs to be?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kieran. Well, as a result of Priory Hall initially in 2011, which at the time, remember, we were all told was a one-off and was a rogue builder, because in the Irish Examiner we started exposing the first of the rest of them in 2014. But in 2014, the government brought in a new regulation known as BCAR, that was in an acronym, BCAR. Now, the gist of that is that there is this individual called an assigned certifier who must certify each stage of the building to sign off that it's been built according to design. On the face of it, that's very much an improvement on what was there before. However, you know, a lot of people who are very familiar with the whole regulation still have issues with it, to the extent that it's just another form of self-certification, albeit one that has greater accountability. But like, for instance, an assigned certifier, you know, could be a mobile job. Somebody could do it. They could be gone halfway around the world if anything emerges, and they're not going to be held culpable then. But, you know, but it's better than what was there. And I would say that it would be fair to say that the risks are nowhere near what they were during the Celtic Tiger era. But of course, during that era, we didn't realise at the time that there were risks associated with it. The ideal thing would be to have, as they have, for instance, in the UK, the state being in charge of regulation. But continually the government runs away from that on the basis of cost and liability and what have you. But that's the grown-up thing to have. The state doing it. I made a programme on this for Virgin Media years ago. We went up to the north, and the difference in the manner in which they regulated things in the north compared down to here was just huge. But as I say, they stay away from that. But better than it was, probably not as good as it should
be. Yeah. But it's kind of a fallacy, though, isn't it, from a government's point of view, running away from state regulation on the basis of liability and cost, if you still end up with kind of pyrite schemes and public inquiries and everything else. You're probably on the hook for an awful lot more money down the line than you would be if you just accepted responsibility up front.
Absolutely right, Kieran, but the phrase you use there sums it all up. Down the line, do our politicians
exactly.
The public service,
that's a future me problem, not a today problem.
Exactly, you know, and that unfortunately informs so much of our politics. But, you know, that's it's a very valid criticism, no question about that. But that's where we're at the moment. They still are not at a point where they're willing for the state to take over proper regulation. And until then, there will always be question marks over how well regulated. The other thing is, and you mentioned inspections. Now, that has improved. At the height of Celtic Tiger, there was more active dog license inspector than there were building inspectors at one stage. However, that has improved. Now, a place like Dublin, there was a survey, or a report came out recently. Dublin, for instance, has a relatively good record in terms of inspections, and Dublin was where most of the problems arose, for going back to 20 years. Now, however, it varies right across the country. Some would be as low as less than 10%. Others, like as I said, Dublin could be high, 60 and 70% and more inspections and everything that's being done. So that as well varies, and as well could be a lot better.
Mick Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Claire McAfee as well, who found herself living in one of these defective apartments. I thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.